Okay, John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things and he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my will, but the will of the Father who sent me." I just want to preach quickly this morning, if I know how to. But I want to make a point that Jesus, we all know, a lot of us know that he came and his primary purpose was to give him his life as a sacrifice on the cross. And as he died and shed his blood, he was actually making propitiation, making a payment for my sin and your sin, all my failure, so that I could be reconciled to the Father, because sin separates us from God. So the primary purpose he came was to reconcile us to God the Father, and he shed his blood to forgive us, but also to deliver us from the power of sin, so that we're forgiven from our sin, but also the sin that because sin has a power, it causes addiction, all the rest of it, but to release us from the power of that. That was his primary purpose of coming. But he also had another purpose that a lot of Christians don't understand and haven't comprehended fully, that he not only came to release us from sin, but Jesus came to reveal the Father to us. He came to reveal our Heavenly Father to us. And everything he did, he said, everything he did, I didn't do anything that I never had a good idea. I never had a great plan. Everything I did because I heard the Father say, "Do it." And everything that I did, the Father did it through me. I didn't have any plans. I simply was doing what the Father told me to do. And in the process of every miracle I did, every healing I did, I was actually revealing to the world what the Father who is in heaven is truly like. I came to reveal the Father, God the Father, to lost humanity. And what upset the Pharisees so much was they said, "We already have a father. We have Abraham." And they're speaking about a human father. But Jesus spoke to them and said, "Abraham's dead. He can't make a difference to you. But there is a Father in heaven who you can have a real relationship with, who will make all the difference to humanity. And I want to tell the world and show the world what he's really like." That's why Jesus came. And he says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I don't seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." He's saying, everything I did, it was all about the Father, revealing who he was to you. In Matthew chapter 11, 24, some of us know this verse very well, but this is Jesus said, "I thank you," in verse 25, "Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one can know the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So what Jesus was saying was that there is a Father in heaven, but you can't know him unless you come to Jesus and Jesus reveals him to you. You can have religion, you can have ritual, but if you want a real relationship with God, your Father, your loving Father, that is hidden from you. You can go to any other place, any other religion, but that relationship is hidden from you, and it is only Jesus who lifts the lid and reveals to you who God the Father is. That's why he said, no one can come to the Father except through me, because he actually hides the knowledge of the Father to those that don't come to Jesus for forgiveness. And what is so powerful about this scripture that I just read, the very following verse says, it says, no one can know the Father except the one whom the Son will reveal him. Then he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is he saying? He's saying that rest for your soul. See, Jesus has a divine exchange for you. You can come to him with all your burdens, all your labor, all your problems, all your anxiety, all your stress. And he says, in the spirit, there's a divine exchange. You give me all that stuff and I give you rest, peace for your soul. But he said that is conditional upon having a revelation of the Father. Because you only get peace for your soul when you have a real relationship and a knowledge that you have a Father in heaven who is concerned for your bills that you can't pay, who is concerned when you're sick and wants to heal you, who is concerned when you have a problem that gives you victory over a sin. That peace and rest comes from a knowledge and a relationship that you have a Father who watches over you and cares for you. That's the condition of that scripture. But I want to say that it's possible, this can be life-changing for Christians, it's possible to come to church for 10 years. It's possible to even have a relationship of sorts, even an intimacy with Jesus, but to not have this revelation, that God in heaven is my Father. He loves me. I'm a father in the natural. And I would give anything for my children. I would never let them go. I would only ever do what was right for them. No matter what they did, I would never drop them. And everything that I could give them that was good for them, I would give them. That's who God is. That's who God, I call it, it's the best kept secret in all of religion, that God is a good, good Father. Where's that song? You're a good, good Father. I'm going to sing. Then you'll all leave. But I have this desire that Christians understand and have a relationship, a real relationship and knowledge of God their Father. If you go to John chapter 14, Jesus is about to head for heaven. And he's come and he's revealed everything that he's done, all his ministry, all his loving, all his healing, all his miracles, has all been about revealing to humanity that they have a Father in heaven who cares for them. They have a Father in heaven who wants to work for them. They have a Father in heaven who wants to do miracles for them, because he's almighty and all-loving. And he says, everything I've done since I've come here, I didn't do anything I wanted to do. Everything I did was simply to reveal what God the Father is really like. I've done it. The Pharisees wouldn't receive it. They wanted to do religion and keep their religion, but everything I did was all about revealing the Father. And he says, now I'm going back to my Father. And he says, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip then said, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I not been with you so long, yet you have not seen me, Philip? He who has not seen me has seen He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I'll leave it there. It's a kind of a crushing passage. It's because it's just Jesus is just, I believe, is so disappointed with the disciples. He's spent all his effort to reveal to the world, but particularly his disciples, who God the Father is. And here Thomas, just before Jesus goes, is saying, we don't know the way to the Father. And Philip then pipes up and says, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. All this time, 3 years, all his ministries, Jesus about to go to heaven, and they say, we don't know anything about this Father. We don't have any relationship with God as Father. And there's a kind of I call it Jesus only preaching in Christianity these days. It says all you need is Jesus and Jesus. And I've even heard it talk that Jesus is the Father. Jesus is not the Father. When he says, I and the Father are one, he's not saying he is the Father. He came to reveal the Father. God is the Father, and he is our older brother he's the Son who brings many sons to glory. But he's not the Father. He came to reveal the Father. And here's Thomas, here's Philip saying, we don't know how to get to the Father. We don't know the Father. We don't have that relationship that you speak about with the Father, yet we've been with you for 3 years. And Jesus, his answer here, I don't think we have the fullness of it here in the scriptures, but you can just see such frustration with him. He says, because that's one of the primary reasons I come, was to reveal God the Father to us. And they're about to go into ministry. And Jesus is saying, you're my plan. When I go, I'm going to work through you. And you're going to face the same problems I did. Rejection, accusation, storms, attacks by the devil. I only got through them because I have a relationship. I know how loved I am by my Father. I know how important I am to my Father. I know how much my Father provides for me, protects for me, cares for me, watches over me. That's how I got sustained. I have a real relationship. I know how loved I am by my Father. And he said, you don't have that and you're going to do ministry. And so Jesus was saying to them, you know, when I was turning water into wine, you know, there's a time where people came to a wedding, and it's very important in Middle Eastern culture that you have wine at the wedding. And to run out of wine we think it's no big deal, but it was a thing of great dishonor for the bride's family. They would have been greatly dishonored and would have carried shame for a long time. And Jesus, he turns water into wine. And the purpose of him doing that, he said, when I did that, I revealed the glory of the Father, to show that what the Heavenly Father is like, even if you have a problem, it may not seem big, but God the Father is concerned about every aspect of your life, things that you think are not important. He's concerned for every aspect of his children's life. That's what Jesus was revealing. And when he came to a situation where there was a lady who'd lost her husband, and then like a couple of months later she loses her son, and she's just so full of grief. It happened at a place called Nain, and Jesus came, and there was a funeral procession coming, and Jesus came and he touched the coffin, and the young boy who died revived again back to life. And he said, when I did that, I was revealing how concerned our Heavenly Father is for brokenhearted people, and how he has the power and the desire to heal the brokenhearted. That's what he was revealing the Father. When there was a woman who was about to be condemned because of her sin, she was guilty. She was caught in the very act of adultery. She was stone cold guilty, and everybody wanted to stone her, because that's what happens when you do the wrong thing. And everybody wants to condemn her, and everyone wants to, the Pharisees said, shall we stone her now? And Jesus says, he who is out sin, throw the first stone. And what he was doing, he was revealing that when we've blown it, when we've crossed the line, done things we never thought we did, we have a Father in heaven who doesn't condemn us but is willing to forgive us. And then when he come to a demoniac who was cutting himself. Some people today, they mutilate themselves even today. This man was chained and he was cutting himself. And the reason was he was in spiritual torments. He was being attacked by demons. And today some people are mentally ill, and it's not medicine. It's that demons are attacking them. And Jesus came, and this man was so tormented. Some people today, they're so tormented, they don't know which way is up. They don't know if they're a boy or a girl, because the enemy, the devil, is tormenting. But when he cried out, Jesus cast the demons into the pigs, and he was revealing that the Father is concerned and able to deliver anyone who's in spiritual torment. He desires to set them free because he is a good Father. You don't have an understanding of that? And you want to represent me? And I want to tell you today, God wants you to know him. Not to just know what he's done, not just to know him as your Savior through Jesus, but he wants you to know him as the Father who's concerned. Even when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, there was 5,000 people. They had eaten for 3 days. And he took a few loaves and a bit of bread, and he did a great miracle to multiply. He was actually demonstrating the Father is concerned for your material world. He is concerned that you have enough, and he wants to provide for you supernaturally because he's a good Father. You say, how can I have... See, ritual's not going to change your life. I had ritual. I grew up in the Baptist church when I had ritual and religion, but my life never changed till I came into a relationship with my Father in heaven, who I know. You know, he cares for me more zealously. He watches over me more zealously than I do for my children. I love my children completely, but my Heavenly Father has a love and a concern and a care for me, and it is real and it is relational. And God wants each and every one of us to know him as Father. And it's so important today, because so much of our problem in society is simply because of fatherlessness. No fathers are absent fathers. And when that is a place, I grew up with a father who wasn't there. He was there, but not there. And my life couldn't thrive, but it all changed when God himself came in as Father. And I knew him as my Father. And I still know him as my Father. How does that happen? Well, Jesus said, you can't get it any other way but through him. He says, you cannot come to the Father except through... What does he mean by that? You cannot come to the Father except through me. I tell you what this is, because the Father is pure love. He is perfect love. He is pure righteousness. Everything he does is good and right, and you and I are not, because you and I are tainted with sin, and the scriptures say sin separates us from the Father. But Jesus, because he came to give you a relationship and a knowledge with God, gave his life and shed his perfect life and shed his blood and his body and gave his life on the cross so that your sin could be forgiven. And when your sin is forgiven, you can be reconciled and connected and relate to God the Father in heaven. That's why, you can't come through Buddha, you can't come through Muhammad, for one simple reason, not because some of those don't have aspects of truth, but that none of Muhammad or Buddha or any of the Hindu gods have dealt with the problem of sin. Only Jesus has dealt with the problem of sin. So only Jesus can connect you to the Father, who is holy and righteous. So when you come to the cross and you receive Jesus, your Savior, what happens? It says the Holy Spirit comes to live in with you. And by the Holy Spirit cries out, the scriptures say, Abba, Father. Those who are led by the spirits are the sons of God. They actually know God truly as Father. And so, if you come to Jesus, if you receive him, and he will forgive you as you come to him, as your Savior, the Holy Spirit will come to reside in you, and the Holy Spirit will connect you, because God is a spirit, and the Holy Spirit connects you with a real living relationship with God the Father. And you say, well, how come more Christians, how come more people don't really walk in this? I'll tell you one of the reasons why. 2 Corinthians 6 says this, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. There is a condition. God says that he is holy, he is righteous, and he will not compromise. He will not compromise. And those who want to compromise and live with one foot in the world, one foot in sin, you cannot be the child of the devil and the child of God at the same time. He says there has to be a decision where you say, I'm coming out of this. I'm going to separate myself from the world. I'm going to separate myself from relationships that are unclean, from practices that are unclean. I'm coming out of that, and I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to live righteously before God. And as soon as you do that, he says, I'm going to embrace you, and I'm going to start to provide for you. I'm going to start to heal you. I'm going to start to watch over you. You're going to have a relationship where you know there is a God in heaven. It's not ritual, it's not religion, but it's reality. You know God as Father. And God, our society today, it's rich with stuff. It's rich with stuff. It's richer than no other generation with stuff. We got so much stuff. It was only 100 years ago, people didn't even have a toilet in the house. But what we are, what our generation is incredibly poor in relationships. Poor in relationships. And all this technical, all this Facebook, all this, it's all virtual. It's all virtual, it's all counterfeit, but what we need to thrive as human beings, we are here. The world is unsafe. Our life can go tomorrow. We really don't know how to provide and protect ourselves, but we need to do well to have the rest, the peace of God. We must have a real relationship that I am not alone. That there is a God who have in heaven who loves me, who watches over me, who knows every hair on my head, who is zealous for me, who fights enemies on my behalf. When I get in my car, he releases angels to protect me as I travel. When I'm sick, he's concerned to heal me. The only way we can thrive as human beings is to have a real, living relationship with our Heavenly Father. And just because you say, well, I read the Bible every day, I'm intimate with Jesus, just because you said, doesn't mean you have it. Thomas and Philip been with Jesus every day for 3 years, but they had no real revelation, understanding that there was a Father, God the Father in heaven. When they had a need, he would multiply their bread. If they got tormented, he would deliver them. If they had a lack material, he would provide supernaturally for them. If they were condemned, he would remind them that he doesn't condemn, he forgives. The Bible says, he who did not withhold his own son, how will he not now freely give you all things? That's my Father. All things that are good to me. It's just so important that you have this relationship with God as Father. You know, all of us sometimes we get tempted. But you know, Jesus was tempted 40 days intensely by the devil. But before he went into that wilderness, it says that he heard a voice from heaven saying, it was an experience in the Holy Spirit, you are my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased. And so he had, before he had the test, he had the knowledge, had a real relationship. He had a word that God was his Father in heaven. And when you have that real relationship with God and his Father, and you understanding the goodness of the Father, the love of the Father, the zeal for the Father for you, that he will withhold no good thing for you. Jesus was able to withstand all the temptations of the devil for one reason. The devil offered him the world. The devil offered him everything. And he said, I know my Father, and he would not withhold anything that's truly good for me. That's how you overcome temptation, through knowing the Heavenly Father. And I believe God wants to reveal himself deeply to us today, that when we face problems, we can be at complete rest. He didn't say we would not face problems. When we go through storms, we could be complete rest. You know why Jesus was at rest in that storm? Because he was resting in the arms of his Father while the disciples were stressing over the circumstances. Do you know God as Father? Do you know him as Father? Have you had the revelation personally that God is not the Father of the world, but your Father? He's your Father. Do you know him? Particularly if you've had a poor father. But do you know God as the good Father? Do you know him like that? Is there things in your life that you're connected to that you need to separate yourself from? Jesus said, come out of those things and I will embrace you as Father. And perhaps you've never ever come to Jesus, who reveals the Father, and he's the only way you can come to the Father. You've never come to him. And so all you understand is religion and ritual, which is worthless. But I know God is speaking to people. I want us to bow our heads today. I want us to bow our heads today. And we do this often as a church. We give people an opportunity to come out of everything that is dead, everything that is dark, come out of religion and ritual and everything that is meaningless. And I'm going to give you an opportunity today to come into a real living relationship with a loving Heavenly Father who Jesus come to reveal. You've never ever had that in your life, but you wish to receive it through Jesus Christ today and his death on the cross. I want you to indicate to heaven today, just raise your hands high, not to me, but to God, and he will receive you and he will embrace you and you will know it. If you've never had it before, if you don't know God as Father, you just say to heaven today, I want you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God's going to come in. He's going to come in. You can't receive that through any other way except through Jesus. But when God comes in as Father, you know. How do you know? I tell you, because you have rest for your soul. You have rest for your soul. Keep your head bowed. I'm going to pray for you.